is Hard Parking, sponsored by Right Honda and Right Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. This is the first official episode of 2024. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I know I've dropped a couple classics. I don't even think I dropped an episode this past week, and I've earned that time off. If this is your first time visiting the show, thank you very much. Listen to a few episodes. You'll probably be hooked and become a listener for life. Coming up on today's show, Michael Bush in studio. So Michael is behind the new podcast partnership with Autocannon. Autocannon is one of the two brands originated from a gentleman named Dennis, who we hope to have on the podcast in the future. A lot of the tuners know him from Max Boost, a small comic strip that was featured in Import magazines many years ago, and Auto Boost has made a resurgence. So today we're going to find out about that resurgence, why it was so important for Michael to step in and help spread that new growth, what it meant to him personally, how it saved his life. And I'm excited that I have this partnership with him. You know, so for the course of the year, you're going to see me on social media wearing some pretty cool clothing. Autocannon does Honda Type R and Acura Type S officially licensed clothing. You know, the holidays were kind of weird, and this is a longer episode, so I'm not going to spend too much time talking about them. There's some things that I've noticed. So, you know, we have a lot of people over and we're always watching TV and we do this thing with, there's a lot of people in the house, it's loud, and you're watching TV and you turn the TV up so you can hear it. But one of the observations that I jotted down was it was loud. And I think my wife or my son, somebody turned the TV up, except we were watching something that had subtitles. So no matter how loud it is, whether you turn the TV up or the volume down, the whole purpose of subtitles is for you to read what they're saying on the screen. So I thought that was a little weird. I also posted a video on Facebook from that Y-Files, you know, the thing that my wife asked me if I'm a prepper, and nobody saw the video. I had asked in a group, hey, are you guys seeing this video? And some of the people said, well, we didn't see it in our feed, but when we go to your page, we see it. I'm wondering if Facebook kind of shadow banned that video. And the video was about the moon landing, whether it was fake or not. But as I said before, the whole purpose of that YouTube page, it's clickbait, but when you actually watch the videos, they're really good. They make you think. They don't make you doubt. They just make you think. That's the whole purpose of it. They give you all the pros for supporting one thing and all the pros for supporting the other. And it's up to you to decide if they haven't already said something's a myth or something couldn't be proven. It's up to you to decide what the truth was. I was rolling a total wine to pick something up just before Christmas. So I buy these last minute liquor just in case. It was really for me. I'll be honest with you. But just in case we were short on gifts and it's like, well, what do we have left? Well, we have this bottle or this bottle. As I'm rolling through, this kid, these teenagers kind of run up to the car and there's like one kind of alpha. Oh my God, dude, because I was driving the NSX. Oh, the car is so cool, man. What is this? I mean, what is this car? I'm like, I rolled my window down. I was like, hey, it's an Acura NSX. Hey, man, can you give me a ride in it? I'm like, no, man, I'm actually on my way somewhere. Sorry. Oh, man, this car is so cool. I'm like, all right, man, cool, thanks. He said, man, yeah, man, you ought to, maybe we should get you into a Lamborghini or something. I'm like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. And then he throws his hand out. All right, man, good to meet you. As if, and he's got three or four buddies kind of hanging out, kind of behind him. He wanted me to shake his hand, and I didn't. I just kind of looked at him because I saw as he was coming up to the car, he had both hands in his shorts underneath the leg openings, and he must have been scratching his groin with both hands. And so my brain surmised that, oh, this guy's fucking with people, and he wants me to shake his nutty hand. That's the whole point of this. Let me talk to the guy and get him to shake my hand. Ah, joke's on him, man. I have my hand on my nuts. I just kind of looked at him like, but I thought to myself, don't be a dick. I'll be a jerk because it's important to me when I have these occurrences with people as I'm rolling off, whether, hey, it was kind of a cool guy or that guy's a dick. So I threw my fist out there and fist bumped him, rolled my window up and kept him on my business. So before we get to this conversation with Michael Bush, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome back Right Honda and Right Toyota for the 2024 campaign, Cell Shot Wireless Services, and obviously 4Wheel Online. This interview and all interviews are sponsored by Cell Shop, an Arizona-based retailer that strives to be your destination for choice of wireless services, whether Arizona, Washington State, California, Texas, and Florida. They're an authorized AT&T dealer, so visit them at cellshop.us and get connected today. After this word from 4Wheel Online, Michael Bush. For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. Their truck products cover everything to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. Need a wheel and tire package? Head over and use the configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so go get outfitted today. Visit them online at 4Wheel Online. Michael Bush, welcome to Hard Parking with Jay Finning. You're here on behalf of, well, yourself, but AutoCannon, Max Boost, kind of, you know, revitalized a company that's, I wouldn't say dead, but kind of like most things that, you know, in our lives has kind of faded away a little bit. But it's funny because the other day I posted on social media and some of the responses was great.
Yeah,
and
it was really neat.
Yeah. Cool. So first off, you know, welcome to Hard Parking.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
So we're going to get into it, but I want to know more about you and who you are and how you got here to where you're at. And then we can kind of get into the AutoCannon and the Max Boost stuff. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, again, thanks for having me. I grew up a military kid in Spokane, Washington. Was actually born in D.C., but spent most of my life in Eastern Washington, which actually, surprisingly for most folks, it's not that different from the Valley area down here, from like a geographic terrain and, you know, whatever kind of thing. So it's kind of neat, but stayed there until my mid-20s, moved to Seattle, worked for Microsoft over there, and then took another job while I was there that has brought me to Phoenix area, IT data center industry, work from server manufacturer. Basically, we're the industry leaders in AI technology.
Big deal right now, man.
It's a huge deal, man. It's pretty exciting. But we manufacture servers, and then we also have a service wing. So I'm the regional field service manager for our service wing down here for our customers in the Southwest region, the United States. Car guy, gun guy, kind of just everything.
Cigar guy,
somewhat. That's more, my pops got me back into cigars. I think I got him into cigars, okay. And then I got out of it, and then he got back into it. He's a bourbon guy, and he's trying to get me to become a bourbon guy.
You're a tequila guy. So hold on. Speaking about bourbon, so you brought this over, and this is the Uncle Nearest 1856 premium whiskey, 100 proof. And you were saying earlier there's a story to this, and I would like to share that story, and I would like to know that story. And first off, thank you for this.
Thanks. Gift from me for having me on the podcast and inviting me into your world and letting me tell a little bit about myself.
So you guys hear that? More than welcome to come into the studio. Make sure you bring a bottle of bourbon, tequila, gin, scotch, pretty much anything that has alcohol in it.
Yeah. So, you know, to the bourbon thing, like I said, I'm not all that familiar. I'm not too hip on bourbon, but I do recall my dad, when he was telling me different brands he likes and different things. You know, he was telling me about the Uncle Nearest, and the backstory behind it being the brand itself is either named or representative of former slave that actually taught and mentored Jack Daniels on whiskey making. It's something that most people don't know. You know, it kind of goes with the nature of some of our country's history that you're not necessarily going to know a former slave taught this person who's this revered American icon in whiskey making. But us being African-American background family and whatnot, it's something that we appreciate and cherish. So it's only fitting to provide that to you.
Thank you. I'm going to look it up because it's got the 3 stars at the top, and I'm sure that has some level of significance. And the actual logo, so this is out of Tennessee, which Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey, makes sense. And the logo looks like it's a horseshoe with looks like it might be a Glencairn. Yeah, it's a Glencairn over a horseshoe. That's actually a brilliant logo. Yeah, this is super awesome, and thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, car guy mostly started out in lowriders, to be honest. Like I never owned one per se, but that was what really got me started in cars. I had Lowrider magazine when I was like fifth, sixth grade, I think, you know, and that morphed into the import scene pretty heavily shortly thereafter, because they had like Euro Lowriders, they called them in the magazine. And really they were Honda Civics.
You know? Well, hold on. All right. So you had these Lowrider magazines when you're fifth, sixth, you know, grade. So were you looking at the Lowriders or were you looking at the chicks?
I mean, you know, that was part of Lowrider magazine. Oh, absolutely. It was like you get some boobies in the magazine without there actually being, you know, actual pictures of it. So,
because you know what's funny is
the airbrushing that they did, right?
Right.
But I also did love the cars
too. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I used to look at some of those pictures and I'm like, can you get out of the way of the car, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would never say that now. I'm like, can you come take a photo with the NSX? Everybody, sure. Hey, all of you, come over here and just, I don't care, sprawl on my hood, do what you got to do.
It's funny. I'm the opposite. So, back when I was a kid, you know, it was all about the girls in the car,
right.
And especially when I was in the lowrider scene and whatnot. But now I'm like, let me see the car.
I get it.
Yeah. It's not to say I don't have model sure. friends in the industry and that stuff, and I appreciate the hustle that they do and the hard work they got to put in, but my interests have just shifted since I've gotten older.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you have these Euro Civics, yeah. Lowriders.
They just kind of started to catch my attention, and so I started, you know, looking at those more than I did the Impalas and all that and whatnot. And then I was in the store in the magazine aisle, and I seen, like, I think the first one I saw was Sport Compact Car.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh dang, there's those cars that I saw in the magazine, but they don't look the same. They look cool, right? Cause it's not 20 inch wheels or 18 inch wheels at the time. We didn't have 20s back then, but you know, on the cars, they had tuner wheels and they were
like racing hearts
Racing hearts,
yeah.
Or sprint hearts.
Yeah.
And, the early N keys, you know, and whatnot. And so that caught my attention. I started reading those, and there's a bit of a backstory there that leads into the Max Boost stuff. And I was going through a really rough time in my life at like that 13 to 15, you know, age range.
What was going on?
Yeah. So just to get down to it, my brother got in trouble.
Okay.
He was arrested for first degree assault with a firearm, and he was sentenced to 25 years in prison when I was a week after I had turned 12. He's 4 years older than me. We were really, really close leading up to that.
What like, a gut I mean, punch,
best,
man.
Best friend, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it led me into a really, really dark, deep depression when he was gone. My folks were understandably so tied up in taking care of him. I was already pretty independent as a 11, 12 year old, you know, and stuff. And so I got somewhat forgotten just because they were so focused on this big problem they had to deal with. And that left me to fend for myself. And unfortunately, the side effect of that was some mental health issues. And when I was 13, I did attempt to commit suicide. And thankfully, in that state of mind, wasn't thinking through exactly what I was trying to do. And I failed. So,
well, thank God you failed,
you know, to bring a little lighter side to it. I, you know, obviously I failed.
Well, let me ask you this. About what year would you have been that age?
1996.
Okay. So social media wasn't even not even a thing.
No.
And that goes to prove, and people have it hard now, but people have always, there's always been life events that cause you kind of to go down this. So that's not a new thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. And in some ways it, you know, it was harder. In some ways, it's harder now.
Right.
It,
I agree.
It was harder then in that we didn't have an outlet to go to. We didn't have things at our fingertips to redirect and, you know, see different perspectives. But at the same time, that's also shown to be a curse for kids today.
Oh, sure.
Because the level of influence they have from outside sources and, you know, impacting how they think about themselves, whatnot. I would much rather be a kid in 1996 than I would a kid.
Oh, sure. And if they're making fun of you at school in 96, you can go at home and be by yourself, whether it's good or bad. But today, they're just going to turn on that social media and keep killing you.
That's right. So,
no pun intended.
Yeah. So, you know, I went through that phase and was just in a really, really dark place. After that, you know, it happened it did give me kind of a moment of pause and like realized, holy crap, this what I just tried to do. But the depression didn't go away, you right. know, kind of thing. But I had gone to the store again, and as I always did, I went to the magazine aisle, you know, and I came across another magazine called Import Tuner. Mm-hmm. And immediately it stood out different from Sport Compact Car. Had girls on the cover, had more showy cars. It looked, so it kind of gave me that lowrider magazine vibe, you know, but it was these racy looking import cars. And it immediately struck a chord, but not so much because of the cars and the content, but because there was a comic in the magazine. And it was like just a little 4-page comic in there that it featured this goofy kid and his best friend and their antics of trying to race this town bully who coincidentally drove like 96 Mustang GT. You know,
of the course. Most
annoying car from my childhood was that car and people that drove that car, you know. So I just immediately kind of like latched onto that, and it became the thing that diverted my attention from all of the BS family stuff and just drama and depression I was going through. Like I became a type 1 diabetic a year later, and just all this stuff was happening. But that was the outlet that I didn't get from not having social media or, you know,
right.
things like YouTube and stuff that the kids today have. But so I just like latched onto that and became every month, cover to cover, read every page, you know, and everything. But the first thing I did was open it to Max Boost, and I'd read Max and go through, you know, that. And what made it even cooler was my best friend and I, like, we were totally Max and Otto from the comic. Like, we were the two dummies just doing stupid stuff and messing around with my car once I got old enough to have a car. And because I actually started reading the magazine before I even could drive yet. But once I did start driving, that became our thing, was just playing around and tinkering with the car. So, you know, from there, I just continued to get more and more into the car thing. I never had the money to afford the Civics or Integras or anything like that. Spokane's not exactly a place where there's a lot of wealth. We were a military family, you know, just working class, basically, you know. And so I had a Mitsubishi Mirage. The crappiest car that most people could think of, but surprisingly,
Evo.
There was a lot of potential. And that's the thing. So that, you know, most people don't realize that you can make those things into Evos.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've become more known for in the car community than anything until getting hooked up with Dennis, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But I became an admin in the Mirage community because I was one of the first members of the forums when it started in 98, 99. Mm. I'm still now, all these years later, I'm the only admin that keeps the thing going. It's mostly run out of Facebook, but we still maintain the forum. And there's about 200 of us that still operate it.
You got to keep the forums going.
Yeah. It's really the lifeblood of the car community. So much changed mm-hmm. after Photo Bucket decided to kill forums, but you know, to get me going in Photo Bucket.
Oh, that's funny. Good luck finding an old photo. You go to click on it and it's like, what?
Yep.
Photo Bucket.
But, you know, so I started really getting deep into the Mirage community and help people research and figure out how to turn these crappy base model cars into mm-hmm. cars that could compete. And I mean, we've got guys in the community now that one in particular that I'm good friends with out of Vegas, that he's like 8 times in a row SEMA car. He's been part of Battle of the Builders and whatnot. And it's a full Evo swap in a 2-door coupe, but it looks all the part of an Evo because it basically is at this point. And we've got countless others like that too. And I've been part of helping all of those people along, or helping the community to get the information needed to allow those people to do the things that they've done too. So that's probably the biggest claim to fame, I guess I'd say I have in the car community, which in the grand scheme of things, the Mirage community is like a little speck on the, you know, the globe. But surprisingly enough, we actually have more of a following in Australia than we do in the States, because it's a really popular car over
availability.
Because of availability. Yeah. So, but you know, kind of then to take that back to the Max Boost, the Autocannon stuff. Max Boost was the comic in the magazine, but there was also another brand attached to Max Boost, which is Autocannon. And that was a clothing brand that the creator of Max Boost had. And in Super Street and in Importuner in particular, he ran ads for these t-shirts. And they were just screen printed t-shirts that had Integras, Hondas.
You know, this whatever. Was early Autocannon?
Early Autocannon, like 98 to 2003, you know, time frame. And those shirts were available in stores like Anchor Blue, mm-hmm. Miners, you know, and stuff. And, you know, if you remember back in the day when in those stores, they had the big t-shirt wall, you go in and
in the back,
it was just like half the wall were car shirts, and those were all Autocannon shirts. And so I was all about getting all of them that I could, but there was like three or four of them I couldn't get. I could never get the ones from in the magazine ad and stuff. They never showed up in my store. So long story short, I go to San Diego for Christmas, I think when I was 16, maybe 17, and I'd known that Autocannon was headquartered in San Diego. Somewhere in one of the magazines I saw that's where they were, but it didn't have like an address or anything like that. So while I was there, my aunt and uncle were at work. I just got open the phone book and went to the yellow page and started looking up.
Yellow pages. Showing your age.
Yeah, no, right? Older than I look.
For sure.
But if you do the math based on what I said, when I was 12, you figured out. So I found him in the yellow pages. And so, you know, my uncle gets home. And I'm like, hey, this is the only thing I really care to do the entire week I'm here. Forget going to Magic Mountain or Disneyland or any of that other stuff. Like, I just want to go find this place. And in my head, I'm thinking this is a shop and I'll be able to go in and I'm going to be able to purchase these hard to find shirts and, you know, whatnot. And
of course, anyone would.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, and so we go to the address and it's just an office building as it would be. We find the suite, we go up there and knock on the door, and this guy comes to the door and he's like totally perplexed and like trying to figure out why are these people at the door. And so I tell him, you know, who I am and that I'm just a kid from Spokane, Washington. I'm a big fan of Autocannon and Max Boost, you know, whatever. And so he gives me some free swag, and one of them is the shirt that I've been trying to find and can't get. And so I'm like totally geeked out by that. But he also gives me another shirt that he says is a really special friends and family employee only type shirt. So
friends and family and random kid who just happens to show up at the door. Yeah.
So, you know, I go back home from Christmas vacation, and later that year, Fast and the Furious comes out, the very first one. I worked in a movie theater, got to see the movie before it premiered and all that kind of stuff. And first thing I notice is like right after the four car race scene, when Vin and Paul are talking, there's a guy standing in the back wearing the damn shirt that I got given to me as a special shirt. And so I'm like mind blown.
Nice.
You know, that holy crap, this, I don't know who this is. I don't know anything about him, but he's got to be somebody important related to Autocannon. And not knowing who that was persisted from 2001 to 2018. I had no idea who it was until 2018. I see Max Boost page come up on Instagram. And, you know, I'd been on Instagram long enough to know, just because you see something, it might not be the actual person or the actual official page and whatnot. So I was kind of leery, but I messaged him and was like, hey, I'm a big fan. I followed, you know, this for years and years. And I told that story about going to the headquarters and then the story about seeing the guy in the movie. And he was like, oh, well, that's me. I'm the guy in the movie, but I'm not the creator of Max Boost. I'm just a person that's helping the creator get things kind of rolling again, because it had fallen out at like 2006. The comic had ended its run in Importuner, and then it kind of died out, and so did Autocannon. So I, you know, kind of mind blown. I'm talking to this guy now, like, this, you know,
like holy
no
shit,
no idea. And I find out, you know, his name is Memo, and he's a good friend of Dennis, the creator of Max, and he's just trying to help him revive Max Boost and see if there's still an interest in the comics and stuff. And that leads to me ending up talking to Dennis directly because he sees this connection there, and that like I had this time that I went down to San Diego. And so I start talking to Dennis directly through the Instagram, and I tell him the story again of, you know, well, when I went to AutoCannon headquarters and I met this guy and stuff. And he's like, yeah, you met me. That was me. So for this, like, you know, 15, 16 years, I never knew that I had actually met the creator of the comic when I was down there. I just thought I met one of the artists,
like employees or artists or something. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so mine was again blown. Right. Just totally geeked out over that.
This is meant to be.
Yeah. And so we just kind of struck up a friendship and just started talking more. And he's telling me more about, you know, he's really trying to revamp Max mm-hmm. Boost because he's now got kids and he wants them to have the same love and passion for cars that we had when we were teenagers. So he's talking about Kickstarter and kickstarting a relaunch of Max Boost as a hardback book. And that's kind of where, you know, these books come in. And this is the third iteration of our Kickstarter launches that we've done for bringing Max Boost back to be available, not just for us as the people who enjoyed it in its initial releases, but for a new generation of car enthusiasts and kids in general. We relaunched it through Kickstarter as just like the first half of the editions that were in Import Tuner. And then we did a second edition. And then this third one is all of them together, plus new content that Dennis hadn't had and just created over the last year or two
to continue the
story, you know, right? So it's kind of cool because it just kind of fell off. Like there was no closure to like what happened with Max Boost or anything. And so it's really neat that after 13 years, it's back and the story's continued. It's like it's picked up right, like it never fell off. But the neat thing about it is because it's kickstarted, there's a lot of influence from the community and where things go and you know, stuff like that, to the point of even like I've been the number one backer for all three Kickstarters as well, in large part because I one am in a place in my life where I've got the financial means to be able to support the things I'm passionate about and enjoy doing those things. And two, because I feel like I owe a lot to Max Boost and
getting you through Dennis,
for getting me through that dark point and not allowing myself to stay focused on the negative. Right. And so in this third edition, I'm actually written into the story. And,
that's awesome.
My race car is in the book as well. And I'm actually on the cover. My yellow S2000 is on the cover of a special edition of our second launch too. And that's just a thank you, you know, from him and shout out for being as invested as I am. And I'm not the only one that has, you know, had that. I've written other people into the comic and stuff too, which, you know, it's kind of neat to then now.
It's really neat.
Like forever etched into the history of it.
Right.
And then also being part of it, continuing to grow, you know, and doing all the things we're doing with that too. But to go along with that, we've also been working on bringing back AutoCannon. But we've shifted gears. Dennis's, I guess his day job, as you'd call it, is he's a clothing designer. He actually was on Shark Tank For Your Life, I think is what it is. It's not the full Shark Tank TV show. It's like on Good Morning America where they do like an abbreviated thing. He and a business partner of his created a women's dress for active, kind of activewear thing, where that premise is for people who are volleyball players or triathletes or whatever that are outside, you know, at the beach and they don't have somewhere to really go and change. He designed and created a dress where they can change on the spot and not be revealing to anybody around them, and feel comfortable changing into their everyday clothes.
It's hard to conceptualize.
Yeah, it's pretty neat when you see it. Like if you,
it's like an umbrella dress.
It's poof. It's just like a really long full length dress. If you go to the undress.com, that's their website for it.
Make sure you guys type that in very carefully.
Yes. But it's pretty neat. It's pretty ingenious and when you see it actually the way it works. Mm-hmm. But that's his day job. right? And so he's a clothing designer. So doing more than just t-shirts has been something he's wanted to do. So he was really reluctant to bring back just screen tees, because that was one of the things I pushed him for. Was, man, we got to get back to t-shirts. People are going to love the t-shirts. We got to get them back. And he's like, I've already done that, though. I don't really want to do that. And we're still working on that. Well, you know, there's definitely a market that I see he sees now, too, where that's something that people want. But the streetwear is more what he's been wanting to get into and design. And so this is kind of like the stuff I'm wearing today is some of the launches we've already done. Now, we've done 3 launches so far.
So let's describe what you're wearing so today.
It looks
fantastic, by the way.
So it's just a zip up hoodie, but we are officially licensed by Honda and Acura. And because of that, we can use different prints and logos and stuff that the everyday person can't. So this is the official Type R FL5 camo that they had on the car pre-release and pre-production and whatnot. And so we have the authorization from Honda to use that on our apparel. So like the hats have it, jackets and hoodies. We've done belts. All kinds of different stuff. We've done a Type S line as well, too.
Which is what I have, and you guys have seen it, hopefully, on my Instagram. And it's actually my main logo. I mean, not logo. My profile picture is from that shoot. And it's a dope photo by my good friend Danny. And I look good, man.
Yeah. You know what? The Type S line is actually my favorite so far of all of them. I think it just looks the best. The colors and stuff on it are what speak to me. But the Type R and Type S gear is something that we've been really excited about, because it's been able to relaunch Autocannon. And kind of like you were talking about in opening, some of the comments on that post, you know, just kind of brings people back. The nostalgia that it brings back is pretty neat to see, because fact of the matter is, we are all getting a little older, so it's nice to be able to go back to those days in our teens, early 20s, and that kind of stuff, and just enjoy what it was back then, because the import scene has changed a lot from what it was then to what it is now. And I'm a sucker for nostalgia. I will say I'd go back to 1998, 2000 import scene hand over foot over what we do today. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that the stuff that's in this scene today isn't cool or fun or anything like that. It's just different.
You know, it's just different. Yeah.
There was just a different level of,
the BRZs and the 86s they're our version of kind of the mid to late 90s Civic hatchbacks and, Civic SIs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still go, back to those days of being 16, 17 and wanting a Honda Civic hatchback, on TE37s, and just like, God, I'll never get that, I'll never get to that point. Cause like, I was just a small town kid from Eastern Washington, and we didn't have a big import scene there. It was very much domestic, the Chevy Camaros or Ford Mustangs, and that was really it. So if you got into imports, it was a rough go, but it's different now, right? Like it's kind of cool to me that there's so much more acceptance across the board, but it's different. And it's hard to explain if you haven't lived that, kind of thing to really put yourself in it, to the point to where, like I've shifted. I don't even really do a whole lot of car stuff anymore in like the public kind of thing. I don't do car
meets. You don't. Yeah. I've been trying to get you to come out to one of these things at some point. You've been here for a year.
One of the things that I was very taken back by was how freaking large the Phoenix area is. Like, I'm all the way out in Goodyear, and to get to something in Scottsdale or in Chandler or whatever, and I need a helicopter.
Even here before the 202, the lower loop of the 202. And if it's, it told you it'd take you an hour, hour and a half to get here. Fortunately, it didn't, I don't think.
No.
But yeah, that can be.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I just didn't realize just how big it is. But the plus side of that is pretty decent highways. And so when there's not a lot of traffic, going for a drive is super nice. It's super fun. But the car scene just has changed for me. I'm not big on the going to car meets and that kind of stuff. I'm very much more motorsports minded. Mm-hmm. I I've always been into racing, always loved racing when I was younger. My mom comes from a racing family, so I kind of say it's in my blood. But that's really where my passion has moved to, more so than just building cars and enjoying them on
the street. How dare
you? You know.
How dare that? You for you've evolved as a person, yeah, right. And you're interested. You're still, I mean, the reason you're into it enough to where I'm sitting here with you in the studio and I have a bitchin' hat and some really cool clothes.
And that's true. I've just changed what my interest is in, and it's enabled me to build these community relationships that I've got. Some of the ones I have back in Washington are still really strong, but it's all motorsports minded now. To the point, Dennis and I are in the early stages of building a race team. We've got a vision of building a team that we want to go. I know you've had Ryan on here a couple times. Ryan Eversley, he's a buddy of mine. He's
been on One Drink Wednesday.
Oh, he hasn't been on.
No, he hasn't been on Hard Parking. Yeah, for sure.
Here,
because he has his own brand that's like 100 times more popular and happening than this, but.
But he just announced that he's going to be racing in SRO, and that's actually one of our goals. We want to go and race in SRO, hopefully with some of the backing and support we have from Honda. We would love to do it in a Honda, you know, race car.
Of course, that'd be awesome.
So, you know, that's one of our lofty ambitions. But right now we're kind of just driving the cars we build. I've got a fully built S2000 Time Attack car. That I built over a span of about 5 years or so. It was more or less a tribute car to my brother. My brother had an S2000. He had come home in the 2004-2005 timeframe, and unfortunately ended up back in prison to finish out his sentence because he got out early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole another story. Thankfully, he didn't actually do anything, but because of the lovely government and the way the judicial system works, he ended up back there to finish out a sentence. But
wait, you're suggesting that the judicial system works?
Oh yeah, it's perfect, perfect. So he had an S2000 at the time. Mm. I was like 21 years old. I had no place having an S2000. And long story short, there is it got repoed. We just couldn't keep it as a family. No way we were going to be able to.
All you non-car people, just try to keep up.
Yeah. So.
This isn't technical, by the way, for those of you who think you're lost right now. So go ahead.
So it ends up becoming a tribute car because I felt guilty that I lost his car.
Mm.
I decided I wanted to build like the most over the top S2000 race car, thinking in vein of, you know, what he liked, what I like, but also taking that, for the video game nerds out there, that Gran Turismo, you've basically beat the game and you've got enough money to just go and do whatever you mm-hmm. want and just buy the whole laundry list of parts. So that's what I did. And I kind of joked that it's the car that Microsoft built because my entire time at Microsoft was just feeding money into that car to get it to the point to where it's at today. A fully built, and I know that word gets used or that phrase gets used
right.
kind of loosely, but the only things left stock on that car are the internals on the transmission, the shifter, and the intake manifold. Everything else has been either fully, you know, redone, built up with aftermarket parts, body kit, wheels, brakes. It's all been redone. So that car is the car that Dennis and I are looking to campaign the most for 2024. We're thinking of doing more, not actual sanctioned racing, but just getting media out there for it with this one, because it doesn't really fit into a category anymore because I kind of stupidly built the car with that Gran Turismo mindset. Racing sanctioning bodies have rules and classes sure. and whatnot, right? And so you can't just go and throw money at a car and just go race it in whatever you
want. It's like a grid life car now.
It doesn't even really fit in grid life.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, it would, but it's one of these things where the car is so modified that it ends up putting itself into a category of cars that it can't compete with.
Sure. Right? I understand that.
cars like Amir's NSX is like it's in that category because of the way that it's been modified, but it doesn't compete at that level, right? It's one or two missteps away from being back down to being a street car that competes with other cars of equal power and whatnot. So we're going to go and have more fun with it and just kind of start to build up more of the name and what we're trying to do. We've also got a handful of Civics, like EF hatchbacks, that are actual race cars from NASA Honda Challenge. We're going to go and use those for wheel-to-wheel racing. Dennis has got a wheel-to-wheel license. He's the primary classroom instructor for NASA SoCal. I'm not a driver. I never wanted to be a race car driver. I was always the one that was thinking, like, I want to be a race engineer or race team owner, be the kind of one orchestrating things. I'll probably end up driving. I mean, I don't think having him in my pocket is...
You never know, because, you know, I had Kenny Tran on of Jotech Motorsports, and, you know, he built the cars and he had a driver, and one night there was an accident, you know, on the way down to Houston, and there was no one else left to drive but him, and that's an amazing episode, and he's on top of the world, so you never know what'll happen.
Yeah, it's not out of the question. Like, right. I definitely can see myself getting in. We want to do some endurance racing with the Civics. Need more than one driver, so
right.
I'm sure at some point I'll start driving, but it just hasn't been the passion behind what I want to do. But we've done a lot of racing stuff in the last few years, and that's just where my focus has been in the car scene. It's where I find the most enjoyment these days.
What's Honda Box?
So Honda Box is another one of our products that we are working on for 2024. It is a subscription-based box. You see a lot of these other subscription-based kind of things out there.
Some video game focus, some anime focused. Whether
it's video games, anime, car, whatever, right? Food. Right?
Butcher Box.
You pay a subscription fee, and based on that subscription fee, you get a range of different items either that you pick or randomly every month. In our case, it's going to be a random selection of Honda-specific products that you get. It could be things from art prints to lapel pins to toys. We're working on toys as well.
What about shift knobs? I have an old Type R shift knob that you can take with you up there. So
this is one of the cool things is as a subscriber, taking some of Dennis's background in crowdsourcing and crowdfunding into account, subscribers have input into the products that are going to go into the Honda Box, but also have the ability to have their cars as products in the Honda Box. So you can submit your car to us, and if selected, it will become a product that will come in randomly selected.
Like a boxes. Sticker or an air freshener
stickers,
or what?
Air fresheners. Yeah. Those are the easy ideas,
sure.
You know, right? Stickers, air fresheners, the pins. But you know, it's kind of one of those things is like, it's the sky's the limit to just as long as it fits in the confines of whatever that box is. And that's the stuff that we're still working the details out on and whatnot. But, when we first started pitching the idea to people in the community and stuff, one of the very first things that we got excitement from people about was just that idea of I subscribe, I provide you my car, and I could get my car back to me, and so could however many other people. You know, it brings back the idea of that Reader's Rides kind of thing from Super Street and stuff. For those of us that grew up on that, you submitted your car and there was no guarantee your car was going to get in there. But if it did, that was one of the coolest things, you know, because back then, I mean, getting a feature in a magazine was... You had to know people, or you had to have a car that was just on top of the world. So to make Reader's Rides, that was the everyday people's opportunity to show off. So that's kind of our idea to bring that back and to give that to the community. You know, I mentioned we're working on toys too. We teased the toys at SEMA this year. Dennis had wanted to do toys years and years ago.
Sounds expensive.
Toys is not cheap.
Right.
It's not cheap.
Or like little vinyl.
Yeah, they're going to be either vinyl or resin, one mm-hmm. something like that. I he'd have to be the one to sure. say for sure. But they're cartooned in the style of Max Boost, the cars in the show.
Some of the stuff I have up there.
Yeah, it's probably you know the thing that people see the most is from Donut. Right.
We like the stocky cars and stuff. Stocky
cars, right? We've been working on that design for a while. Mm-hmm. We just haven't come out with it to launch it as a sure. as a product yet. But there's some similarities there, you know. So, but ours are done in the style again of the magazine or the comic right. that's been in the magazine mm-hmm. for almost 20 years or more now. So. That's one of the things we're working on. We kind of started down that route because, I mean, as I mentioned, Dennis wanted to do toys and this kind of style of toys back in the early 2000s when his company was kind of riding on this big wave and they were having deals with Warner Brothers to create video games and toys and all kinds of stuff in the background. That fell out from under him. So he never got to live that dream out. So... you know, one of the things that I did to kind of help that was we're talking in the background as we do and told me he was talking with a mold designer and said how much it costs. And so I was like, here you go. It's no more talking. Just send the mm-hmm. money over. And was like, now we're getting Let's into go. The toy business.
Let's do it. Right? Let's
and that's
go.
One of the things yeah. that I've done for him and with him is whenever we kind of get to this impasse of should we do it or not, or you know what, there's a cost. And I'm the one that kind of pushes it forward and says, well, here's the starting point of it. So now we don't have an excuse not to.
Well, that's awesome, man. And it takes, you know, someone else to believe in your vision.
Yeah.
And it's hard. That's the hardest thing I think for any creatives or anyone coming up with something is you have to convince sometimes more than you want, or they just have to get it. And it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting in front of somebody who's had that struggle with several things in the past, and God bless you, man.
Right. And, you know, I kind of equate it to when you've had that kick in the stomach, you know, you're much more reluctant, you're much more cautious mm-hmm. about how you go forward and whatnot. And so I can appreciate that in him and why he's methodical on what he wants to do and the directions we go. But I also bring the perspective of being that kid that loved that stuff mm-hmm. and know still today that there's more of those kids out there. They have a little bit of a different interest and it's a little different than it was for us when we were younger. But those same things still intrigue the younger folks in the car community and who are coming up. And we've seen that just through launching the book and having the success we've had with that. There's enough there for me to see, like, we just need to go and do and keep things moving. So I've tried to be that, you know, for our team of people to just get us moving past the talking phase and then start moving into that. So to see the toys actually physically made, you know, in prototype was really cool. I mean, just that was something he had been holding back from me until SEMA. Initially, I wasn't even going to go to SEMA, but then he was like, well, you have to go. That you don't have a choice because there's something I have to show you at SEMA. And, yeah. and it ended up being
that's know, awesome.
Toys and stuff. So that was pretty neat. But other than that, we've done this H's for Honda book. This was another kind of little passion thing for Dennis. And I latched onto it. It's
is that your car on the cover?
It's my car is up actually in this corner up here.
I've noticed recognized a few of the cars
yeah.
in there.
Yeah. So there's this is made up of cars that are, almost every car in here is a friend or industry partner of Dennis, Max Boost, Autocannon over the years that we continue to maintain relationships with. So my car is in there. Big Mike's Prelude is in there. Kenji's EF Civic from Gretti's in there. Amir's NSX is in there. But we wanted to do something. So Dennis has a little boy that's 3 years old. You know, just in that prime age of starting to learn ABCs and whatnot. And so this was kind of a passion project that he had for that. And I grew up working with children in, mm-hmm. in a youth center and stuff. So I've got a soft spot for getting kids in the cars and stuff there too. So I wanted to be a big supporter of this one. And this has been probably one of the neatest things that we get feedback from on at different events where we've got them. And it's actually for sale through Evasive Motorsports. You can go on their website and actually just buy the book directly from them too. So
if you guys haven't picked up on it, it's an alphabet book. H is for Honda. So it goes through each letter of the alphabet and names something associated with Honda, whether it's a car or an engine.
Yeah,
like you have NSX in there, and N is for NSX, which Honda, it's an NSX.
That's right.
But you got to be careful because it's a really nice coloring book.
Yeah,
you
know, that's the other piece.
I got it for Zeke, and we're going over the other day, and his mom was like, you know, Mario wants one. You know, I was like, all right, let me see what I can do, because you're right. This thing is pretty badass. And actually, this is the first time I've seen this version of the book.
Oh, yeah. So you've seen the
I have a coloring book. Yeah.
So we mirrored the coloring book with the board book just so kids could have something to color as well as to have the book.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, so, you know, like M is for Max Boost. There's the NSX, and O is for Odyssey. So, you know, it was all just trying to have fun with various different things in the Honda world, while also, you know, showing support for our friends and industry partners.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then on the Autocannon side, we have our latest launch, which is in tandem with Honda HPD converting over to HRC to be a global brand instead of it being HRC globally and
then HPD local in North America. Yeah.
So we've got a new line that's out right now that is all of that HRC branded apparel, hats, shirts, hoodies, jackets.
How do you guys decide the quantities? Because, you know, I made that post.
Yeah.
And then people that I don't even think have either, like, hey, so, I went to the website, and I go, well, you got to be quick. You got to subscribe.
It is a limited release thing because, you know, as I mentioned a little earlier, Dennis wanted to get into more of the streetwear type style of things and wanted it to be exclusive. And you know, I as you saw when you got it, it's pretty high quality.
It is.
Even for hoodies and t-shirts and stuff. So
the fitment is.
It's not like just going to a store and buying a hoodie and whatnot. So we wanted it to be in low quantity. And to do that, what we've done is it's by mailing order. So when we are going to have a launch, people will have to have signed up for the mailing list. And once you're on the mailing list, we'll let you know when we're going to have a release. And then you basically pre-order. So it's all based on how much pre-order we get. And then there's a overage that we also we do from there. And we've been able to have public releases after we get all of those pre-orders and whatnot out to people. But it is all in low quantity. And it's just meant to make it feel a little bit more exclusive and kind of paying homage to
the next drop.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's what we're seeing in the trends with even the car community, you know, whatnot, and parts that are out there. Companies are making less and less of them, but they're making them much more bespoke and higher quality. And people are latching onto that. They love that. And they love the exclusivity of it. I love HKS stuff. Like, I'm an HKS fanboy. And I mean, I know we have a relationship with Gretti and stuff, but I will always be an HKS fanboy. Like, I could be one of the only people in the United States to have that. And I find that kind of stuff
cool. Until you see it on a t-shirt in the next Fast and Furious movie, right?
Yeah, right. That's true. You know, it's like the sneaker craze.
Oh, yeah, sure. Totally.
I view it very much the same way as the sneaker craze. I couldn't tell you how many times I see friends on social media posting that they missed out on a shoe from Nike because they weren't selected to buy it. Like, that idea of being selected to buy it, it blows some people's minds. I'm even one of them. Sometimes. I still don't understand why people do it, but they appreciate it. And because people appreciate that, I'm inclined to, you know, support it and starting to open my eyes to why it's something that people are latched onto. So it's growing, you know, our backing is growing too. We're getting more and more support from people who remember Autocannon, like, you know, on the post you put up, but the new people, that's mm-hmm. what's really exciting, you know, is
sure.
because it's the fulfillment of what we've wanted to do, which is bring the stuff back for another generation of car tuning enthusiasts. And that's what's really neat for us, because I felt like import tuning was dying off in the 2008, 2010 timeframe.
Oh, you're not alone on that. Yeah.
And it's slowly been making a resurgence. Obviously, we've got our issues, you know, with the things like the takeover scene mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff that, like, I just wish it would die like cancer, but instead it's growing like cancer, you know. So we've got to combat stuff like that. But we're still seeing that there's true enthusiasts out there that live in the same vein that we did in the late 90s and early 2000s.
So what can people do? How can people just follow AutoCannon Official, yeah, Max Boost?
There's a heap of Instagrams, websites, whatnot. For AutoCannon, it's AutoCannon, all one word, _ official. That's where you're going to get all the latest information on any of the merch.
Join the mailing list, like you said earlier.
Join the mailing list. Max Boost Comic on Instagram. That's going to be more all-encompassing. Like, we'll post stuff mm-hmm. from AutoCannon on there, but it's going to be more focused on the comic and the toys and that stuff. We'll do a lot more of the racing stuff on the AutoCannon side going forward, because that's really the brand we're following there, is AutoCannon Racing. We want to branch that off, and that's going to become the racing side of things. But then I've also got my TrackSpec Daily Drivers and TrackSpec DD are my own personal ones. And that's where you'll find stuff about, like, the S2000. I didn't have pictures here to show, but that's probably my biggest social media content
right.
kind of thing. We have the clothing lines. If you go to hrc.autocannon.com, honda.autocannon.com, or acura.autocannon.com, that will get you to all three of the clothing lines that we've got out right now. And then maxboost.com will get you to any of the merch that we have for Max Boost that's available still too. And we do still have some that is available, but we're in the process of revamping that site for future products and whatnot that we have.
So I bought the Type S belt. I tried to wear it for New Year's. My wife said she didn't like it on me. You look like one of those old guys at the club that tries to look young. That's what she's... I'm like, well, gee, thanks, babe.
I bought a couple of them, but I'm a nerd. Like, I don't like to be the one that, like, it's flashy for me, you know? So, like, the belt is a little much.
The belt is very look at me, especially if you're wearing black pants.
Yeah, exactly. like I said, the Type S line is my favorite of them. But that belt is very white.
Yes, it is.
It's like bleach white. So I can feel that one for sure. I mentioned Dennis had a live stream. I think that was before we
sure.
got recording, yep. but he would talk to, you know, the folks on the stream about, man, what about the idea of us doing a movie? You know, can we make Max into a movie? And it's one of those things. I'm like, yeah, I totally think we could, right? You see all the different animes and different things that are out there that they're so popular.
Right. Yep.
There's no reason we couldn't. And everybody initially goes to Initial D. But it's completely different than that even, you know. I think it would draw a whole different part of the car community, and maybe not even car people in general, just because if you followed the comic enough, you know that they're just two goofy kids, you know, and it's the kind of proverbial town bully that they've got to go up against all the time and stuff. So it's also relatable, because that still exists today.
I see you guys at Anime Expo. At some point in the future, you know, that's where you're going to cross over.
We're at Comic-Con. It doesn't hurt that, you know, we're headquartered down in San Diego, mm-hmm. and San Diego Comic-Con is like the largest Comic-Con there is. So
again, that's AutoCannon_official. Make sure you check out Max Boost, Track Daily Spec on Instagram, all the above. You know, again, thank you so much for reaching out and providing me the opportunity to support your cool swag and associate it with the podcast.
I gotta actually shout out to Seth Thomas. Seth is the one who actually linked us up.
He connected us.
I moved down here. So I definitely have to shout out to Seth, because Seth is a good friend of mine from back up in Washington.
He's a great guy.
He and his business partners at APC Auto Spa were sponsors on my S2000, but more so became really good friends in the car community that I ran up there in the Nissan group because they were GTR owners, you know, before he was an NSX owner. But yeah, he, you know, when I had mentioned that I was moving down here, he was like, oh, you got to get linked up with this guy, Jay, and whatnot. And that's how we first got to talking. So, yeah.
And a year later, I finally got him on the podcast in his studio. Thanks, yeah. Michael.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
I want to thank Michael Bush for coming over here and sitting in the studio right in front of me and showing us this awesome books. The video portion of this podcast is going to be available on YouTube, hopefully this week. So you can see the books, you can see the cool clothing that Michael is wearing. He is Track Spec Daily Drivers, all ran together on Instagram. And of course, AutoCanada_official and Max Boost are the brands that we talked about today. I want to thank Wright Honda and Wright Toyota, 4Wheel Online, Cell Shop Wireless Services, Patreon Business Supporters, Automotive Specialty Tool, out of Owings Mills, Maryland, Cuy Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida, Pell Construction out of County, Michigan, Big House Small Home Design out of Ashburn, Virginia, and Traverse City, Michigan, and Shaping Success with Wes Tankerley out of Boise, Idaho. If you're in position to help the podcast upgrade, join the Patreon for as little as $3 a month. You get access to bonus audio as well as show swag. Thank you to all the Patreons. If you guys want to pick up a Hard Parking Podcast shirt, we're going to have new ones coming out here within the next month. Questions, comments, or concerns, email hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to leave a review. You can follow me on Instagram @jfinning. Join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook page and the Hard Parking channel on my Instagram. I can't grow without you telling the world how great the show is. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. And I'll talk to you all next week. Again, Happy New Year.
Shut up!